All right. Tonight we have come back again for another Bible study in Acts chapter 5. As we are closing out here in Acts 5, as I've said, the passage that Sister Bennett read is quite telling. And we're going to look on it. And tonight there's a question that I would like to ask, but I would like to sort of set up the question first. And I would love to get your input as I ask this question and as we look on this passage of scripture, as we relate to the current affair as far as the world setting is concerned. And so allow me to go back to Acts chapter 4 and read a passage there to sort of help setting up what I would like to get at in asking this question. So I'm going to read from Acts chapter 4, just the chapter before this one. And I will be reading from verse 29. I might just read from verse 29 to maybe 31. All right. So listen to what Acts chapter 4, 29 downward says, as we try to ask a question here in this Bible study tonight. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. This is, let me stop there for a minute. This is the prayer that the brethren, was praying when they went to their own company, the church. This is the church coming together now, and they are all locked in one, and they were offering up prayer. Listen to what they said, verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that sign and wonders may be done by the name of thy only child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they was assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Amen. All right. Let me read another portion, but this time I'll be going even backward in chapter 4. And I'm reading it this way because of the question that I intend to ask. I read from verse 15 now, in Acts chapter 4. Listen to what it says. This is the Sanhedrin council now, how they are going to treat God's servants, Peter and John. So this is the approach that the council, the governing body of the day, this is how they are going to treat God's servant. Chapter 4, verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they confer among themselves. That means when the council put out Peter and John from among them, the council start to have a discussion as to what to do. Verse 16 saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it, but that it spread no further among the people, let us strictly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And I read a little bit more, verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have heard, which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for that which was done. Last verse here, 22. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. Now I went there to start to rack our memories as to the studies that we had prior to what we're going to look on tonight, because it ties into our discussion tonight in the studies. And before I even ask the question, there are two other scriptures that we need to look on. I'm going to ask Sister Barbara if she would read from Second Chronicles, chapter 20. I should read from 2 Chronicles chapter 20 from verse 5 to verse 15. I'm going to ask her to read that after I read to you some verses from Romans chapter 13. I'm going to read 7 verses from Romans chapter 13. And after that, Sister Barbara will read from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 5 to 15. So this is Romans 13. And I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 7. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but God. The powers that be ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror of good works, but to evil. Will thou then be afraid of that power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must need be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's minister, attending continually upon the very thing. Last verse. Render therefore to all their dues, tributes to whom tributes is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. I just want you to bear that portion of scripture in mind, because it is going to come in handy in the question I'm going to ask. And so we're going to ask Sister Barbara if she would be so kind to read to us 2 Chronicles chapter 20 from verse 5 to verse 15.
Word of the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abram thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If, when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I'll read the last verse again. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The end of the word.
Amen. Thank you very much, my sister, for reading that portion of scripture to our hearts tonight. Brethren, to some of us, we might not detect the fact that we are fighting against not flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We will have to understand as a church that this which we are engaged in, the service of God, it is something that came about as a result of Jesus gave himself sacrificially for us, for the church. And as a result of him giving himself for the church, he is not prepared to stand by to see it destroyed. In fact, we are told in Matthew 16, as you can remember, I will build my church, declare the Lord, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He holds the church dear to himself. He watches over the church. He loves the church. He is fully aware of the fight that the church is engaged in. And at every stage, he is prepared to fight war on behalf of the church. Look what we have before us. Look at what we have before us tonight in this final study from the book of Acts, chapter 5. God's servants, verse 17 says, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with them, which is the set of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. They were filled with wrath and raged at the disciples and what they heard that disciples were doing, the same two disciples along with the others when they went back to their own company. Peter and John joined forces with the other disciples in storming the power of darkness on behalf of the man called Jesus. And the council, the Sanhedrin council, when they heard that the disciples had engaged in these spiritual acts among the people, were filled with wrath based on what they commanded them, saying, unless you forget, here is what they had said to Peter and John when they let them go the first time. Verse 18 of Acts chapter 4, and they called them, the council called Peter and John, and commanded them not to speak at all. Not to speak at all. Full stop. Should have been there. Not to speak, period, at all. Nor teach in the name of Jesus. Not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. That is a first and firm warning and statement given to the disciple from the Sanhedrin Council. And we need to remember that this is the council that came together and plot to kill Jesus. And after they were satisfied that they have enough evidence, they turned Jesus over to the Romans for the final execution. This is a council that means business. This is a council that has in their feeling and power the authority, the governing body of the day, to execute Peter and John if their command was not adhered to. And they gave Peter and John this command, and on the basis of giving them this command, they let them go. But the word said, Peter and John went to their own company, meaning they went back to the body of the church. They went to their brethren, as we have it here in verse 23. They went to the church and they reported to the church what had happened, how they were threatened, how they felt, how the evidence was holding up, the evidence of the man that was healed was standing beside them all this time. But as powerful as the Sanhedrin Council was, they still feared the multitude, because the multitude was there watching over everything. And they would have done something wrong to Peter and John, but the multitude continued to hide them, because the multitude was on the side of the man that was healed. And therefore, they warned them by way of words and let them go. And they thought that these words would hold. Peter and John would stop from calling the name Jesus, from preaching the name Jesus, from telling the people about the man called Jesus. And Sister Barbara, I read a portion of scripture there that reminded us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jehoshaphat and the brethren came across a similar situation where the enemies started to fight against God's people. And there were so many of the enemy that the leaders of the house of Israel had to go to God and say, Lord, what is happening here? What is happening? What is happening? You gave us this place. You gave us this house, and you said that we must, if we come across problems, we are to call upon your name in this house. And we have come and we are calling upon your name because we are encountering the aggression of the enemy. And the Lord, after they have prayed, the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, as we read, came upon God's servants. And the prophecy that came from the Lord, the word that came from the Lord, towards the end of verse 15 in the passage Sister Barbara read, said, look, the battle is not yours, but the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle is not yours. That's the last word that the Lord said in that passage. Look, the battle belongs to the Lord. And therefore they should not fear. And so I read this portion here in Romans 13. That declares that we should obey the government. The government of the land is set to govern the people. In fact, it is the government is described there as God's minister. God's minister to execute judgment on lawbreakers. But what we want to ask tonight, and here is where I'm going to open up this now for the comments from all of you, whoever would like to go first. At what point do we as a church, and when I say we as a church, I'm not talking only now about the Apostolic Church in America, our church, but the body of Christ in general. At what point does the body of Christ go against the government rule as it is? Remember, the word said that we should obey the government. We should obey the government. The governing body during the time of Peter and John was the Sanhedrin Council. Politics were tied into that ruling body. Caesar was part of the whole process. And therefore, the governing body gave the two apostles an order that they should not speak or teach anymore in the name of Jesus. Tonight I'm asking the question to all of us, at what point does the church disobey the voice of the government? Seeing that the word tells us that we should obey the government, and the government is given as a minister to rule over the people. And the people, no, Christian is not exempt from that. Christians and non-Christian, the general people in the country, the government has the responsibility to rule over everyone. At what point does the church stand up for against the government for what the government embraced against what the church denied? At what point do we do that? As a church, at what point do we stand up against the government? So I am putting this out there because I'd love us to have a discussion on this when it comes to this particular portion of God's word here. Because the apostles at 17, this is persecution. This is real persecution. The church was now being persecuted by the government. Verse 17, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with them, which is the set of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid hands on the apostles, and put them in common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison door, and brought them forth, and said, let me stop there. We will go into that further later. So at what point now do we as a church stand up against the very government who we're supposed to obey? I'm leaving that out there for your thoughts. Who would like to go first?
Sister Barbara.
Yes, Sister Barbara.
I will go back. There's so much here, so I go back to Chronicles, though. Chronicles 20, and I will go back to verse 6. And the question that was being said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen, that means the government, and in thine hand is there not power and might, that none is able to withstand thee? And then going back to Acts, Gamaliel said to them, refrain from these men, leave them alone. If this work be of men, it will come to naught, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you be found to fight against God. And who can fight against God and win? And the battle is not yours, God said. It is the Lord. So just Leah just said it all right. God will fight for us. And the question you're asking is, at what point do we as a church go against the government? Anything that is against the word of God, and in this case, from in Acts, they are telling them not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore. Don't preach, don't teach. So we cannot obey no government when it comes to that. Because the word, there is no other name. That name is exalted above every name, and that no other name but that name for salvation of men. So they can, no government, if they tell you that, you have to say we'd rather obey God than man. Sir, finish, sir.
Sister Barbara, you are so spot on. You are so spot on. It is not funny. You are right. Your fingers are right on the button. And I would like to say to the general church here tonight that this thing is chilling. This thing is chilling. You and I weren't there. You and I were not there when Peter and John were engaged in this. But we are now feeling the effect of being there. We are feeling what the brothers felt. We are feeling it tonight through these words. As we read them, we are feeling the pain of heart. We are feeling the threat upon their lives. We are feeling the love of God in us, our God. And we are feeling the muzzling of the enemy upon us. We are feeling what they felt tonight through reading the word of God. And you are so right, my sister. You're right on the button. Because when you think that, and I was not even going to go there yet, but seeing that you brought it out. Gamaliel, this man stood up in the midst of this council. The Sanhedrin Council, who were foaming with rage. And to give me a minute. Let me explain something to all of you. Let me jog your memory here. Do you remember what happened to that brother who had so much followers? Do you remember how the people were excited about him? I'd rather you to read it. That it is after this man rose up, Judah. Yeah, where is it? Yes, verse 34. verse 34 of Acts chapter 5. Then stood up, then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee. A Pharisee means their counterpart, named Gamaliel, a doctor of divinity, a doctor of law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostle forth at the good space. Excuse us for a minute, James and John, he said. Give me a chance to talk to my colleagues here. So John and Peter, they were excused from the company. And then Gamaliel started to tell them, do you remember? And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourself what ye intend as touching these men. I mean, they wanted to kill them. This is no joke. They wanted to kill the brethren. This is why you cannot overlook that line in 2 Chronicles 15 that says the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord.
Is the Lord's.
Hallelujah! Because look on the wisdom of the Lord. Look on the wisdom of God. Look how he interjects himself into the whole process. The brother stood up because everybody threw the memory aside. But it was necessary that the Holy Ghost, whom we declare in the study, we are looking on the work of the Holy Ghost in the early church. The Holy Ghost, who was present, beholding all things, he judges man's memory and allow him to speak at this crucial time. At this crucial time when Peter and John were about to be killed by a council who means business. Because that is proven in the fact that they had already killed Jesus. And he said, verse 35, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up to the earth, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all and as many as obey him were scattered and brought to naught. Example number one, he gave the counsel. And they remember, because that is something that was well known to all of them. They remember very well what had happened. Then he went on to see another one, verse 37. After this man rose up, Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obey him, were dispersed. Example number two. They were drinking in what he was saying because of his reputation as a doctor of law. He studied the law. He understood what the gravity of the situation was. And it was necessary for them to give him space to make his point. Because two men's lives were at stake. He went on to say here, verse 39, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. Let happily ye found him to fight against God. Come on, somebody. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord. The Lord said over there in Second Chronicles. And verse 40. And to him they agreed.
Amen.
Can you see the Holy Ghost here?
Amen.
Can you see the Holy Spirit here? Working in the lives of people to bring about a solution which was necessary for the moment in the sealing of God's servant.
Amen.
I'm just going to leave this right here because I believe that somebody
I would like to confirm also with Sister Barbara, but I'm going to go back to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, which says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And verse 2, whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted the ordinance of God, and they resist, yes, shall receive to themselves damnation.
Yes.
So there the answer is in verse 2. We are going to obey God rather than man.
That's exactly right. That, you see, when Peter made that statement, and we need to remember that. We need to remember it must be in the forefront of our thinking. What Peter had said to the Sanhedrin council. In fact, they actually defy the statement, the bumps the statement even before they leave the presence of the council the first time. Verse 19 of chapter 4 said, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God. You judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We were eyewitnesses to it. We were eyewitnesses to it. Let me just take you back to something here. As we read Peter in such a defiant mood here, let me just bring you back to something that Peter himself had said in John chapter 6. Listen to this. John chapter 6. I read from verse 66. John chapter 6, I read from verse 66 for you to get the gist of it. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will he also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living,
of the living God.
Hallelujah.
Of the living God.
That is way down there when Jesus was moving around with his disciples. Peter got this revelation and were convinced about the man called Jesus. And now he was threatened not to speak again in his name. He had to forcefully hit back at the government. At the government. And said, we cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. There are more things that I can say here, but I just want to give more people a chance to express your thoughts, your views here. At what point do we push back on the government as a church?
Pastor Henry.
Yes.
This is Donna.
Yes, ma'am.
I am going to go to Daniel 6, verse. You know the story of Daniel, and when the king gave he gave the decree that no one should pray to no other god.
But,
and Daniel used to go 3 times a day and open his window and pray.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know they set up Daniel because.
Sister Donna, hold your word there. Let me just ask somebody to cue up Daniel 3. You go on with, because you're on the right track. But I'm just going to ask somebody else to cue up Daniel 3. I'm going to ask somebody to read from verse 14 to verse 25. Okay, Sister Donna, please continue.
Okay, so you know the story with Daniel where they set him up, of course, because, you know, he was a favorite for the king.
Yes.
And he used to pray 3 times a day, and they knew he was praying 3 times a day. We can all read Daniel 6 to get the full story. But to cut it short, Daniel, he made a decree. And even though he made a decree that no one should pray to another god, Daniel still go and do the same thing. Open his window 3 times a day.
Yeah.
And in 13, they said, let me read 13 where they said, then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of captivity of Judah, this is the big part, regarded not thee. He didn't hear.
Yes.
There was an old king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but make it his decision 3 times a day.
Yes.
So we get the answer again. Daniel didn't care about what decree was made about. So the king is representing our, what you said today, our politician. He didn't care. So we don't need to care about what politicians are saying. We need to serve the true and living God who we believe in.
Indeed, my sister. Indeed. Thank you for bringing out that scripture there. I have Daniel, but in another section of it. Daniel, as I said, I'm going to ask somebody to read Daniel 3:14-25, just in a little while. But, Sister Donna, you are so right there. The king said nobody should pray. Nobody should pray to that God. He issue a decree. That is all fundamental. And it is not just the king speaking a word, but the king put it in writing. The king means business.
And, And Daniel knew what the consequences were going to be.
And he also, that's the one point. The king also make it clear what the punishment would be if you violate the law. And Daniel weighed God. He put God and the king in a scale and weighed both of them and find out that the king was not measuring up to God. And they discover that God is to be worshipped. God is to be praised. So he made sure that he opened the window that looked towards Jerusalem. That opening of the window, every time that he looks through there, he is looking in the direction of Jerusalem, what they came from, what they were involved in. He was looking not on the king. He was looking on King Jesus. He was looking on his God in Jerusalem. And he was praying to his God in Jerusalem. 3 times per day. Pushing back against the mighty Nebuchadnezzar, who mean business. I am amazed here tonight to see the life that is pumping out of these words into us.
Amen.
The life that is coming out of the scripture tonight into us to remind us that it's worth the while to stand up for Jesus. Bless the Lord. Thank you very much, my sister, for bringing that thought to our attention. Can we get somebody a thought here? Yes, sir.
I'd like to say something, but it's going to be very long because I am going to try and make it as very brief as I can.
Yes.
If we go back to Son of God. His name is Jesus, which means Savior, and Emmanuel means God with us.
Yes.
We see that Jesus on the mount, seeing the multitudes, he went upon the mountain along with his disciples, and he began to teach them. Reaching down to verse 12 and 13 of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is saying to the multitudes, he's teaching them, along with his disciples, Peter and John, was there among them.
Yes.
Rejoice and be exceeding glad.
Yes.
Great is the reward in heaven. For so persecuted, notice the word persecution, for so persecuted the prophets which were before you.
Yes.
And then he went on to say, well, our dear sister just spoke of Daniel a while ago.
Yes.
And if we go further on in Hebrews, you'll see where there were many, many prophets who were persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus went on to say, verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. And he went on to say in 16, that we are the light of the world. The Christians, Peter and John, now, were a part of the New Testament church, which was established on the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
And you notice they are the ones now that have been persecuted. We think of when the church started on the day of Pentecost. We had Stephen was being persecuted, and you notice where he went back. way back in the Old Testament, right up to the time of the crucifixion of Jesus.
Yes.
We have Peter and John, Mount of Transfiguration. They had the experience of seeing the Son of God being glorified by the Father. The voice
yes.
said, the two of them, that they should give ear to the voice of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
The Word of God tells us in Corinthians, and I'm jumping quickly, in Corinthians, Paul is describing the saints of God, that we are ambassadors of Christ. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. God rules the heavens and the earth. Likewise, we too, because we find Jesus after his crucifixion went up to be with his Father, came back and spoke again to the disciples and said, all power, he says some, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go and preach and teach the word of God, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. We are ambassadors of Christ.
Yes.
We are citizens. Listen carefully. Paul is telling us that we are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are to obey God. God reigns.
Yes,
He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Jesus tells us long ago that the New Testament church would have been persecuted.
Yes,
this is
sir.
What is happening now in this situation here. After God manifested his power to Peter and John, going up to the temple to pray, we see the manifestation of God, and look what happened. 3,000 was added to the church because of the manifestation of the power of God.
Yes.
Following day, we have 5,000.
Yes.
Today, if we listen to what the voice of God said to Peter and John at the Mount of Transfiguration, listen to Jesus. That's what he said.
Yes.
After they saw the glorification of God on Peter and John, with Jesus in the presence there. Today, we talk, and when I say we, I'm talking about the now church, fail to obey what the voice of God said to Peter and John, who Jesus said would be a part of the establishing of the New Testament church.
Yes.
We see where Peter and John continue to demonstrate that power that was given to them. Today, listening to what Paul says to the Corinthian church, we are ambassadors, we are the temple of God, and we're supposed to be the light of Christ now. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ in Romans, because it is the power of God unto salvation. That's what Peter and John is now saying to these men. I prefer to obey God rather than man.
Yes.
Today, what is the now church doing towards all these statements that we've been reading? Are we practicing what we were taught and what is being taught today? Are we just reading these things as if they're stories? They are for now. God is Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We are his children. We are to manifest the light of Christ in and through us, and also the power of God. And we are longing to see, and I'm going to close on this note, longing to see the manifestation of the power of God in the now churches that are speaking about the power of God. They're speaking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're speaking about, well, very few is now talking about miracles and signs, and this is what they're reading here in Acts now. What unto the signs and the miracles?
Yes.
Let me see. We have a job to do. The voice said to Peter and John, whatever Jesus says, do it.
Yes.
Are we doing it?
Yes.
And I stop at that.
Yes. Whatever Jesus says, do it. That is a very high note to stop that thought on. Because it appears to me, Pastor, that we today are afraid of the consequences.
Correct. That is what is happening now. Let me just say this. The then world was very small. Today, the world is quite a size. We are filled with demons all around us today. And this is a time when the church needs to let the world know that God is almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, not the politicians or the whosoever leaders we have today. We, the unsaved, and the saved are the ones that vote in these people, whatever party it may be, into power. And they ought not to muzzle our mouth because we are the ambassadors of God and Christ Jesus.
Yes. 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 You know,
we speak for the one who reigns.
Yes.
We speak for the one who reigns. That's it. We're ambassadors of God and Christ Jesus.
As I said to you, we are afraid of the consequences. And to support your thought, dear Pastor, look on what verse 19 and 20 says of chapter 5. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison door and brought them forth and said, go. No, look here. The angel did not say, go to the hills and hide yourself until all of this pass. Go to some private place so that nobody don't know that you are there until all of this quiet down. The angel did not say, but the angel said, go. Stand and speak in the temple.
Amen.
The people, all the words of this life. My God, Pastor. Come on, church. Come on, church.
Pastor, we need to go to the mountain with Jesus to experience the glory of God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses experienced the glory of God, and he became the leader of the children of Israel, who led them out of Egypt after such a struggle with a demon leader who was Pharaoh. Okay. We see right through the scriptures there the manifestation of the power of God. It was God who parted the Red Sea. It was God who provided water for the children of Israel, who are children of God. That's what the scripture tells us. We are the bride of God. all these demons we bear, are we showing them up to the demons? The power of God? Jesus said, after coming back from his Father, after the ascension, after he ascended into heaven, after his death, all, he didn't say something, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go and preach and teach the word of God, baptizing men and women, boys and girls, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And lo, listen, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. We are supposed to confound demons, and we have demons all over the world in all areas of life today. And we are told by Jesus the various things we would see happen in the last days. We are seeing them today. We are seeing them. Yes. But are we telling the people about the things that Jesus said would happen before he appeared? He's looking for soldiers. He's looking for servants. He's looking for men. He did that when he started his ministry. He went down and he called Peter, James, and John, and all of them, and he said, follow me. Nobody resisted that commission that he gave them. But today, we find that we had some were saying, Lord, I will follow you, but I need to go and bury my father. Lord, I bought a parcel of land. I have to go and look about that. Jesus said, you are not worthy to follow me.
Indeed.
If you're going to follow me.
Let me read that portion of scripture that we made mention of in Daniel, Pastor. But before I go there, let me also straighten the point that you're making by reading another passage from this very section here. When the Sanhedrin were told that the men had escaped and they sent prisoner, no, they sent the officer to the prison to bring them to the council.
Council.
Verse 22 and 23, I'm going to read. When the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the door. But when we had opened, we found no man within. What an amazing miracle.
Amen.
The lock was still in place on the doors. The prison guards were still standing outside there to make sure that no one come in, no one goes out. When they eventually went in to carry Peter and John back to the council, it was an empty prison. The battle was not ours, but the battle is the Lord's.
Amen.
And I'm going to I see the time slipping away so fast, and I really want to get into the scripture here. After this, I will ask anybody at all to comment on it. So if you did find that passage of scripture, Daniel 3, 14 to 25, could you please read it? Daniel chapter 3, 14 to 25.
14 says,
yes.
If I have the phone. Okay. 14 says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, tabot, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? More?
Yes,
more part
yes.
of 15?
Yes, to
25. Okay. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and rose up in haste and spake, and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.
Oh, God. Have mercy. Hallelujah.
Have mercy.
Hallelujah.
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 God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You remember what I said? You remember what he had said? Let's see the God that will deliver you. And the
deliver
Lord
you.
Allow him to see him. The fall of the fourth is like the Son of God. He said, Hallelujah. The battle is not ours, but
it is the Lord.
Hallelujah. Time running out on us, 20 minutes past 9. I will take a comment or two, and then I hand over to Sister Barbara. Hallelujah. Who would like to make a comment here?
I just said this. We're talking about the persecution, those men, the early church, and what they had to go through. I mean, weeping, and because even in that case, they were, although Gamaliel said that they still take them and beat them and let them go. and we are talking here tonight. You know, I don't think in America, the American church know anything about what those people in the early church went through and what Christians, persecuted Christians in other parts of the world are going through now. So we're saying all kind of things. If the government tell one of us now, don't preach in the name of Jesus, or you go to prison. Come on,
This is the thing, Barbara. The consequence. We are afraid of the consequence. And these servants of God were not afraid of the consequence. They were not afraid of the consequence. Peter and Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6. He lists out a whole barrage of things that people who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Among those things that he listed there was homosexual. In there he called it effeminate. And he said people who practice this are in violation of God's law and will not inherit. In fact, he, at the end of that, all of those that he said that, and such were some of you. He did not say that God will not take in people who practice homosexuality. But he said, if you are practicing homosexuality, you have to drop that and then you enter into the kingdom of God. Okay. Another thing that the government refused to do is to pass a law for bestiality. Just the other day, a woman had sex with a dog. And instead of she keeping it quiet, she published it in the open news and charging money for the people to subscribe to it. Refusing to pass law for abusing oneself with a dog or animal for that matter. I mean, these are things the church is sleeping on, not doing anything, not talking about these things.
Peter and John
look in the face of these people who they know could kill them, and said, we prefer to honor and to obey God rather than man. Sadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, look, we are not careful to even answer you in this matter. But the God that we serve will deliver us. And even if he did not deliver us, we are not going to bow to your idol. We are not going to serve your God. And they went through and they experienced what the man said that he will do. But in the midst, and then there is another thing that I want the church to know. Sometime God is going to deliver us, but God is not going to deliver us from the problem. God is going to deliver us in the problem. Like what happened there with Peter and John. He delivered them after they had actually gone to jail. He delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego after they have actually gone into the fire. He delivered Daniel after Daniel spent a night with the lions. Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah, church.
Yes, Pastor. But deliver. You see, he delivered them for standing up for God. This is what we're talking about, Pastor. We can always talking about the government this. And we are not persecuted, so we don't know what persecution is. We don't know which one of us right here tonight can go going into the public square and start to preach, and they tell you, Jesus, don't open your mouth about Jesus. What they do? They shut up and turn around and go.
Sister, that is a challenge that we have. And I'm not talking about the apostolic church in America, I don't, but I'm talking about Christian in general. No.
Church.
Especially our leader. Yes. Our Christian leader.
Ask him now for the whole.
Look here. I mean, time run out on us here because it's only 4 minutes we have leave. And I just want, maybe we might touch up on it again. I didn't want to have the fourth Bible study on Acts 5, but we will do a partial review of it the next time we come as we enter into Acts 6. All right? So we will leave it here for tonight. I am so sorry for those who did not get a chance to make their comment, but the next time, I'm sure that you will get your chance. Okay? Let Amen. Me just read a word of prayer here. Father, I just bless your holy name tonight. You are so good, and your mercies endure it forever. I thank you for the awareness of your word to our hearts tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that it is no joke that Jesus experienced pain and anguish in bringing the church into being. And Lord, we are seeing where your disciples who have experienced such very persecution for themselves in standing up for the word of God experience discomfort, heartache, trouble, oh Lord, but still holding on to you because they have seen, they have heard your ministry, and they are convinced, Lord, that you, Jesus, is the source of their life. Tonight, we are also convinced that you are the source of our life. And Father, I pray that you will grant us the boldness, grant us the wisdom, grant us the determination to speak as ambassadors for you in whatever situation we find ourselves, so that you be glorified. You said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I look to you, Lord, that you will empower us with your spirit, so that we will stand up for Jesus in our own Amen. Local setting. We give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.